Well, welcome here. It's good to have you with us today. Is everybody okay today?
Oh, yeah.
Are we doing all right? Anybody besides me love Thanksgiving? There's just something about Thanksgiving. It's just the greatest time of year. I think maybe for me more so because I grew up overseas, you know, on the mission field in Australia and South Africa, and they had never heard of Thanksgiving. They don't celebrate it. And so I grew up without it, and being able to come back to our home here in the States and celebrate this this wonderful day called Thanksgiving is, for me, the best day of the whole year. There's just something really special about that day. And you know, coming together this morning, we're going to do our service a little bit different today, like we try to do on Communion Sundays, where you don't hear from me as much as you normally would on a normal Sunday. We're going to have an opportunity just to share and fellowship as a body together, and we're going to celebrate communion today. Isn't that a great time, Thanksgiving, to celebrate communion? And as I was thinking through the whole Thanksgiving thing this year, I was reminded of a story that I heard once of a family who was seated at the table there on Thanksgiving Day, and they had this enormous spread of food in front of them. And this year, they asked the little five-year-old boy if he would return thanks for the food. And those of you who have kids, who've raised kids, you know you're always taking a gamble when you ask a little one to pray, because you never know where it's going to go. I remember one time, my mom tells me this happened. I don't remember it, but I'll take her word for it. She said that we were, you know, growing up a pastor's kid. Pastor's kids always have to do something to make the pastor's family not look so holy. Caroline and Nick, y'all erase that from your mind. That's the job of a pastor's kid, right, Justin? And so, no, I didn't mean it that way. Wow. Sorry, bro. I really didn't mean that. Somebody's got to back me up on that one, though. But anyway, she says we were at another family's house, and we were seated around the table getting ready to eat, and they had made something, some kind of goulash dish, and I was like four. I didn't know what it was, and they asked me to pray. That was a huge mistake, because my mom says that I closed my eyes, and I was praying, and I said, "Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for this." And I said, "What do you call that stuff?" And she didn't think I would understand the word goulash, so she said, "It's spaghetti." I said, "It's not spaghetti." So be very careful when you ask kids to pray. But anyway, this family was seated around the Thanksgiving table, and the little five-year-old was asked to pray. And so he began to pray, and he started praying this long, eloquent prayer, and he wanted to thank everybody who had anything to do with providing this turkey for their family. And you know how kids do, sometimes they just go on, and he started praying, and he said, "Lord, thank you for this turkey, even though I've never tasted it, I know it's going to be good, and thank you for Mom because she cooked it, and thank you that Dad bought it. And thank you for the cashier at the store who checked us out. And thank you for the stock boy who put it on the shelf. And thank you for the truck driver who drove it to the store. And thank you for the farmer who made it so fat. And thank you for the man who made the feed to feed the turkey." And he just went on in his little detective-like mind, tracing this thing all the way back to the turkey's origin. And after this long prayer, he finally paused and he said, "Did I forget anybody?" And his older brother, who was now very frustrated and annoyed by this whole prayer, said, "Yeah, you forgot God." And the little boy said, "I was about to get to him." And I thought, you know, isn't that just like us sometimes? We have been so blessed. Our lives have been so changed and so enriched by Jesus. And yet we sometimes think of everybody but Him to thank for what we have. Turn to Luke 17. I want to take just a minute and share one encounter from the life of Christ that I hope will help us this Thanksgiving focus on remembering to thank the one who really deserves to be thanked. Luke chapter 17. We're not going to spend a lot of time here, just very briefly, and then we'll have our communion time. Starting in verse 11 of Luke 17. Everybody got it? All right. It says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him." 10 men. "They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us,' or 'have mercy on us.'" Now, this is another sermon for another day, but it's very, very interesting that they cried that, because the law said that anybody who had leprosy, whenever he saw someone coming close to him, he had to cry out what? Does anybody know? Unclean. That was the law. If somebody had leprosy, they had to cry out everywhere they went, "Unclean, unclean," so that people could stay away. And yet, I love the boldness of these men. Because when they saw Jesus coming, they dismissed protocol. They knew they needed help, and they knew he was the one who could help them. And they cried out something different. "Jesus, have pity on us. Have mercy on us." Verse 14. "When Jesus saw them, he said, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.'" Now that was another law that had to be fulfilled. These men, in order to be declared clean in the society, they had to go and show themselves to the priests. Jesus was simply following what was the law of the day. He said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Now they hadn't been healed yet. Interesting. Another really interesting tidbit. Remember when God came to Abram and he said, "Abram, pack up your wife and your servants and all your stuff and start moving to a place that I will show you"? God told Noah to build an ark before it started raining. See, God requires obedience before we see the proof. It's that way in my life. I know it is in yours. Sometimes I say, "Well, God, if you'll just kind of show me the results of this, then I'll decide if I want to do it or not." God says, "No, no, I've given you a command. You follow it, and then you'll see me come through." He says to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." He had said nothing to them about being healed. You got to at least give the 10 men credit, because it says in the next phrase, "And as they went," they obeyed. They went. "As they went, they were cleansed." I just can't imagine that walk. I wonder if with every step they took further and further towards the priest, if they just kept looking and more of that leprosy started disappearing. And another step, and some more was off of their friend, and they looked at each other, and then I wonder if they started running. But now watch the next verse, verse 15. Well, let's go back up to verse 12 for a second. How many men did it say were there?
Ten.
Ten men. And they were all healed. Now, verse 15. One of them, underline that in your Bible. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And the Bible says, almost in parentheses, "Oh, by the way, he was a Samaritan." Hated by the Jews. He was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? What an incredible moment that must have been. Here, 10 men are healed of an incurable disease at that time. If you got leprosy, you were outcast from your family. You were outcast from society. The law said you had to go outside the city walls to live, and there you had to live for the rest of your life. You were never again allowed to have contact with your family. You were never again allowed to have human touch. Think about that. They were doomed for life. They were dead in every sense of the word. And here Jesus comes along to them and he heals them of this disease and gives them a second chance at life. And all 10 of them rush off to see the priest, and only one takes the time to turn around and walk back and fall at Jesus' feet and give him thanks. How quickly people forget who the thanks is supposed to go to. How quickly. You see this pattern throughout the Old Testament. I mean, page after page after page. It's astonishing. If you read the whole Old Testament, there's one pattern that you will see throughout the Old Testament. That is that people forget God. God blesses them, he saves them, he restores them, and they praise God, and then you turn the page, and the next chapter, they're off in living like pagans and don't even remember who God is. It's the pattern of the Bible. You don't have to turn there, but Psalm 106 recounts the passing through the Red Sea. Psalm 106, starting in verse 7, listen to these words. It says, when our fathers were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. He's talking to God. They gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses, and they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Yet he saved them for his name's sake, to make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea and dried it up. He led them through the depths as through a desert. He saved them from the hand of the foe, from the hand of the enemy. He redeemed them. The waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them survived. Now listen to this. From one extreme to the other in one breath. Then they believed his promises and sang his praise, but they soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his counsel. Are you kidding me? I mean, guys, let's be serious. Wouldn't we think that if we had just been chased by the Egyptian army and come to the banks of the Red Sea knowing we were going to die, and we saw God part the waters of the Red Sea so that we crossed on dry land, and some say the Red Sea was just a little stream that they waded through, just read Psalm 106. Says he took them through the depths of the sea and the waters completely covered their enemies. I don't know any streams like that. That's just another, you know, somebody trying to bunk the Bible. They got to the other side of the Red Sea. They had just witnessed this incredible miracle of God's power. And they began praising God there on the other side of the Red Sea, singing praise just like we did this morning. Praising God, shouting hallelujah, but they soon forgot what God had done and did not wait for his counsel. Would we do that? Surely not. I mean, we come in here on Sunday morning and we sing praises to God and we thank him, and we're going to have time to thank him this morning. Surely if the Bible were being written about our lives, would there be a verse that said, but they soon forgot what he had done, and they did not wait for his counsel? Can I tell you something this morning? There are times in my life where there would have to be a verse that said that. I don't know about you. We see this when God was leading the Israelites again further out of Egypt. In the desert, they had no food. They were crying out to God, and God provided what for them to eat? Manna. This miraculous food that had never been seen before, and the Bible says that every morning, God sent this manna from heaven to feed the people. They're witnessing a miracle, an absolute miracle. Something the Bible says that their forefathers had never seen. And yet in Numbers 11, the Bible tells us that the people started complaining and grumbling, and they said, all we see is this manna before us. And I'm reading that verse going, wait a second, all you see is manna? Have you forgotten the miracle that this manna is? How can you say all we see is this manna? We're tired of this. If only we were back in Egypt. Yeah, but you were slaves in Egypt. Yeah, we'll take that. And how quickly they forgot what God had done for them. Jeremiah 2:32 is just a heartbreaking verse. It says, the Lord said, my people have forgotten me days without number. Wow. Days without number. How easy it is for us, even us, to forget our blessings. Emerson said, if the stars only came out once a year, everybody would stay up all night looking at them. You see, but we see the stars every night, and now we don't even take the time to look at them anymore because it doesn't mean anything to us. God's blessings all around us, and yet we grow accustomed to them. This is one of the many reasons why I really love Thanksgiving. Because, you know, shame on us if we need a special day to remind us to give thanks to God. But at least we have a day that causes us to slow down and pause long enough to remember the goodness of our God. Thanksgiving is not to honor any person, no great event that took place in history. It's just a day set aside. And if you go back and read the origins of Thanksgiving, by the way, that'll soon be struck from our kids' history books, if it hasn't already. The wonderful prayer that was prayed by the president for Thanksgiving Day, giving thanks to God Almighty for His goodness. Thanksgiving causes us to remember. And you know, I've told you before as we've had communion that communion is a very simple thing. There's nothing fancy to it. There's no hidden mysterious thing going on. Communion is a very, very simple thing that Jesus instituted for His followers to carry out until He comes. Do you remember the one phrase that Jesus used when He was at the Lord's Supper, we call it, with His disciples? He said, do this in remembrance of me. Because He knew that the disciples would get busy and they would forget. And so every time we have an opportunity to come to the Lord's table, as we are in just a few minutes, we have an opportunity to do what Thanksgiving reminds us to do, and that is to remember. To remember that it is the Lord who deserves our thanks for what He has done. 2 Corinthians 9:15, you see on the screens there in front of you, I think is one of the greatest verses you'll ever find. Paul writes and says, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. King James says, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. I like that. Paul, a guy who spoke all the time, a guy who wrote half the New Testament, got to that verse, and as he was writing, said, "Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift." Can't even put it into words. Folks, what we're celebrating here today, and I know we know this, but if I can just remind us, what we're celebrating today is not some empty ritual or custom that's been passed down through church history. What we're celebrating today is what Jesus himself celebrated with his disciples on the night before he was crucified. And it is a very powerful way for us to come together as followers of Jesus, as his church, and say, "Lord, I'm not going to be like that little five-year-old boy at the table who thanked everybody else and forgot to thank you. I want this to serve as a reminder for me today to thank you first for sending your son to die on the cross in my place and to pay for my sin and to give me eternal life. Thank you for your indescribable gift." Psalm 103, verse 2 says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." As we come to the Lord's Supper this morning, I'm not even going to go through 1 Corinthians 11 or Matthew 26 that we normally do when we talk about communion, because I don't even want that to become a ritual. There ought to be no ritual here. This is just a family coming together to celebrate communion. And the way we do this here, if you've never been here before, is very simple. We're going to take just a few moments and just sort of spend some time in prayer. And whenever you're ready, you can come to one of these two tables in the front and take some juice and break off some bread and then return to your seat with your family and partake of communion there, and that'll keep the line moving. And as we do this morning, just take some time this Thanksgiving season to say, "Lord, thank you. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you for making all of this possible. Thank you for giving me life, life eternal." It's all because of him, folks, that we're here this morning. It's all because of him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the beautiful simplicity of your word. I thank you for the simple reminder that you left behind for us to follow, to gather together, and to remember the body and the blood of Jesus that was broken and spilled for us. And Lord, during this time, these next few moments, as we celebrate this communion together, I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here today who does not know you as their Savior, I ask that you would touch their heart, show them their need for you, and I pray, Lord, that right where they are, they would cry out to you from the quietness of their heart and invite you into their life to be their Lord. Lord, we who do know you, pause to thank you first for all that you've done for us and for your indescribable gift. We are so grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.